Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order. It's Tuesday, March 26th at 5:18 p.m. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Weigold.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was on March 12th. I did find one change, and that's under the, when we discussed the rain barrels on page 2 of the minutes. In the first paragraph, second line, third word over, it says toady instead of today. That's the only thing I found. Under the rain barrels, it's toady. The second sentence. Toady.
That's the word.
Anything else that needs changed? Do you have a motion to approve?
I make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented with the change of today to toady.
Toady to today. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Second.
Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Minutes have passed. Let's go to bid opening for domestic solid waste. I know I have a lot of people in the audience awaiting this, so.
All right. Our first bid is from Advanced Disposal Services.
Doing. Probably don't need it.
Yeah.
Cut yourself.
Where's the Boy Scout when you need?
Hi, Brad. They didn't want us to get them out. There we go.
They made the box round the pack.
Okay, their bid is $7.17 per unit per month. Their annual community cleanup is $82 an hour, and the per tonnage would be $25.50.
I think that's Serval.
Huh?
I think that's Serval, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Is that your guys'? That's what I thought. Yeah. Serval. Republic.
Republic.
Say what?
You did?
Could be on there, right?
Bid is $8.69 per unit. The annual cleanup is $88.82 per hour. Per ton fee for the cleanup is $18.50. And their additional bags are 90 cents. The next one is from Earth First. Their bid is $8.14 per unit. Annual cleanup is $84 per hour. The annual tonnage cleanup is $28 a ton. And the additional bags is a dollar each. The next one is from Washler. Is that right?
Washler.
W-A-S-H-L-E-R. Their bid is $8.46 per unit. Their annual charge for annual cleanup is $35 an hour. Their annual tonnage charge is $45 a ton. And their additional bags is a dollar. And the last one is from Whitley Environmental. Their bid is for option one is if the city purchased carts up front is $7.66 per household. If Whitley Environmental purchases the carts, $8.31 per household. And option three was if Whitley Environmental purchases the carts and the city owns them at the end of the term is $8.62 per household. Oh, and then the annual cleanup is $83.50 per hour, and the annual ton fee would be the per ton fee is $33.60, and the additional bags would be $1.50 each. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you all for coming. We will take these bids under advisement and make a decision basically by the next council meeting, or excuse me, by the next Board of Works meeting. Okay? Okay. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the cemetery bid opening, or excuse me, bid award. We did opening at the last meeting. We had two. We had Emerald Knight. And then we had Wise Property Management. And
The Wise Property Management was $15,200 per year. And Emerald Knight was $14,400 per year. I did call some references on the Emerald Knight because we did have Wise last year, and they were good comments.
Okay. Okay. Board of Works, have members have an opinion or have questions?
Just a clarification. There's a 1 year and 3 year. Mm-hmm. And then on Knights, it says a 3 year at 10% discount. So is that discount off of the total, or is that part of the bid?
It's $16,000 if it's just for 2013.
Are you from Emerald Mine?
Yes.
Okay, we have a gentleman from Emerald Mine.
If it was, the $16,000 was representative just if it was a 1 year, because the bid said it could be a 1 year or a 3 year.
Okay.
So if we get the 3 year, then we gave a 10% discount, which would save the city, you know, $2,400 over a 3 year contract versus the other bid.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify where the discount come into play.
Right.
Okay.
And it, so was the worth, it was worth the 3 years, then with the longevity of the contract, then we could do it for less.
All right. Thank
that
you.
That helps me too, because I took it a different way on that one. So.
I've kind of talked to Kelly a little bit. I don't know what his opinion.
I mean, the reference is checked out, and it, we do have the option, I think, after 1 year to, if they're not cutting it, to rebid it. So.
Again, on the question, additional mowing services at an hourly rate of $25, what would engage an additional fee, for an example?
Well, under the bid, it said that there could be other mowing that the city would want done in addition to the cemetery.
Okay.
So the $25 was per man hour. So it's a bigger job, and I've got three guys out there. It'd be $25 an hour for each man.
So that would be us saying, hey, we want you to go more, we'd like you to go mow Morsha's Park for us or something, and that would be,
exactly.
So basically it's at our discretion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. That was my understanding.
It was a clarification.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
If there's other additional areas of the city that the city's own facilities can handle at that time and needs additional help.
And we currently have that in our current contract. However, it's mainly like houses that are abandoned, and currently the water department takes care of that.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Well, I was just wanting to make sure who had ownership to request it. That
it
was
up to you guys.
Right.
So.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to make a recommendation?
Well, my recommendation is to go with Emerald Knight into a 3 year agreement. That just because I think again the references check out, the price is right and. That would be my recommendation.
I will second that.
Okay. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. We will accept, we'll enter into a contract with Emerald Knight. Do we need to go through that? Do we have to approve that contract also, or since we accepted the bids?
Yeah, there's there's an actual agreement that I'll fill out and get signed by the Board of Works.
Okay. Is that something we do now, or will that be at another meeting?
Well, I'll look and see if I have it.
Okay, that's okay. I just was wondering to know if there's one more step that we need to do to make it official, if you will. So.
No, as long as you make it official tonight, I can get you to sign the agreement.
Okay. Is that what we just did?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Okay, then we will move on to sewer tap at 412 South Chauncey Street. Kelly, do you want to kind of talk about that?
I believe this house is tied into the neighbor's house. They want to sell it, and they want to disconnect from the neighbor and get away from there and have their own single tap. During the Chauncey Street project, there was a tap extended over to that property from the sewer that's across the street, and since they were already tapped in, there is a tap ran for them to hook to. Just asked to waive the tap fee, I think, would be a good gesture for that.
Yeah, and I will mention that I've talked to these individuals, and it was kind of, you know, I guess unknown to them, if you will, or whatever the case was, that they were connected to their neighbor. When we were doing that project, they just set up a whole nother tap already. So when that time came, that they'd be able to do that. So I personally don't have a problem with waiving the tap fees for these individuals. But I'd welcome comments or questions that you have.
It's one of those things that was just unfounded before.
It's the way it was.
Yeah.
Well, this probably goes back 100 years, right, Kelly, before our time?
Yeah.
It was very common to do that back in that time period.
I think there was probably instances where one person owned or built a couple houses, yep. and in the day they just hooked into one sewer and ran out to the main, and it was okay back then. And so now, you know, things come up and they want to try to separate. I think it's good. It's a good decision by them.
I think it's a win-win for all, and I support it.
I agree.
Okay. Do you want to make a motion?
How to word it properly. Just go ahead and make a motion that we waive the tap fees for this
412 South Chauncey.
412 South Chauncey.
Okay. I'll second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show with the usual sign. It's unanimous.
Just a question. Should we follow up with a letter to the owner so that they know what has transpired?
I don't think that'd be a problem at all. Kelly, you want to kind of spearhead that?
Okay. Sure.
Sorry. Sorry, Kelly.
I'm more than happy to help out with it and stuff. I just know that you've had some interaction and you know, with the recommendation and stuff. So, okay. Okay. We will move on then. We'll go to Andrea. Andrea is here, and Andrea actually came and met with me a little bit and talked about some things, and she kind of wanted to come and talk to you guys about an opportunity. If you wouldn't mind, Andrea, if you could go up to the microphone, and that's actually not to amplify your voice, it's to get it on our recorder, is what that's for. So, Andrea, Board of Works.
Okay. Thank you guys for taking the time to hear me today. I want to share a bit of a background before I give you the proposal, so you understand where I'm coming from. There are about over 500,000 squatter villages in just the Metro Manila, Philippines area. And in 2010, I was able to spend 5 weeks working in one of those villages, well, with the children from those villages, one of those. A squatter village is just like unclaimed land that people just build makeshift shelters in and call home because they don't have the money to do anything else. After working with them, those kids have been, they're in my heart now and they're etched there. And in May, I'm hoping to go back and work with a ministry that is working with them and is helping to give them hope and a future for these kids. What I'm proposing is that for 24 hours, I, along with a few friends, would like to live like these people do, build cardboard shelters, just live a whole 24 hours like they do, and raise funds as we do that. What I'm asking you for is the place to do that. I would really like to use the lawn of City Hall because of its central location, and it's just a known place where people will see it, and it will bring attention. It will help bring attention to this situation to people in our community so they can understand that, and because I think oftentimes we forget, like we know that there are people who live like that, but we forget. It will bring that to them, and also, obviously, this will help fund my trip so that I'm able to go and minister to these people. So I'm just asking you for permission to use the City Hall lawn for a 24-hour period. My thought was from 7 a.m. on April the 27th till 7 a.m. on April the 28th was what I was hoping, but I have some leeway with the date, if possible.
Just looking that up. This is a point of reference, April 27th. You said 27th mm-hmm. into the 28th, right?
Yeah.
27th is opening day at Morse's Park, just to give you kind of a point of reference of where that's at. I don't know of anything that's going on downtown during that time period. Or on the City Hall lawn, for that matter.
Is the City Hall space enough?
I don't know how much spacing you're looking for.
How much space are you looking for? Because I'm just looking at all the limited space there is on the City Hall property.
We wouldn't need much. I mean, it's pretty much just it's just going to be a big enough spot for, there's only going to be like 3 to 4 of us tops, so it's just big enough for us to sleep, so basically.
Now, is that something you bring in bigger cardboard boxes for?
Yeah, we would bring in the cardboard boxes and et cetera to build such shelters.
Some kind of signage?
So that people are aware of what's going on, and it's not just who are these random people in cardboard boxes. there would be signage, and anyone who had questions, we would be there to talk about it and spread the word about what exactly we are doing sitting there and such.
Tom?
I only have one question, that is, what would you be using for cooking appliances and things like that?
My thought was that we would actually just have somebody cook and bring us some food throughout the time, that's pretty much was my thought, because I knew that that could be an issue in the middle of town trying to cook stuff and things like that.
Tom, are you okay with that?
To the best of my knowledge.
Okay.
I've got to find out. There are a few hurdles that I can think of that I need to make sure we're okay with.
Okay.
Are you curious?
With someone bringing in food?
No. As far as how many cardboard boxes are you talking about doing? Because I get into the issue of high pile combustibles, things like that. And then distances from buildings.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're only talking about three or four?
Yeah, probably. That would be the max.
Yeah.
Like refrigerator boxes?
Yeah, about that size.
Okay. Tim, do you see anything public safety wise? Any issues in that regard?
No, sir.
Terry, dispatch? No?
No, sir.
Okay. Board of Works? Question?
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're just, we're just chatting. And I think this is something that's unique, and I think, but yet we all want to be supportive, but I think maybe how soon do you need an answer so we can make sure we do our homework and
the
make sure
sooner the better, so okay. that I can start raising funds, because once I have the okay, then I can start asking people to donate towards this situation.
The next Board of Works meeting is April 9th, so that would be about 2.5 weeks prior to the days that you're talking about.
I could do that.
Okay. And the reason I'm getting a feeling from legal and fire and trying to get our arms around this and how it impacts City Hall and how it impacts, all the different codes that we have to abide by, sounds to me like by getting maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks worth of information, getting together, figuring this out, And then letting you know, basically, I think is probably the way we want to go.
Do you have any insight? Has this been done at any other facility or any other?
I did hear about it through some other friends. I know that it's been done to raise money for Habitat for Humanity on like college campuses and such.
Okay.
I don't have any specifics personally, though.
Yeah. Okay. So is that what we want to do then?
I think we could take it under advisement.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be my recommendation. Just to, again, I think you hear a lot of support, but yet a lot of concern.
Right.
Okay. And we just don't want nobody to be stuck in the middle. So
that's understandable.
Okay. Good. Very good. Okay. So we will then make a decision on this at the next Board of Works meeting, and if we can't, maybe if for some reason it's not working out at City Hall, can we maybe potentially help at a different city location? I mean, we have lots of city sites. I don't know where we're going to go with this. I want to make sure that we try to help you in some way, shape, or form.
I appreciate that. And I would be open, if it won't work there, I would be open to another location.
Very good. Okay, so we'll do that. And I guess if you want to come to the next meeting, or we can let you know either way. So.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, next up is the Urban Forester contract. As you may know, Davie Resources has been our Urban Forester for the Tree Board for quite some time now. Casey Krause, who was our Urban Forester, took a new job and went elsewhere. And so we then kind of got assigned, if you will, Aaron Flint. And that is what's in front of you. I will say her fees are more than Casey's were. But there's a lot of things on here on the scope, if you will, that the tree board already handles and already takes care of. So it is a situation where the recommendation from the tree board is that not to exceed $3,000 amount. Although, now that I look at it, Marcia, it looks like it says 2012 instead of 2013 contract payment. So,
yeah. I don't know where that came. I don't know where that's from.
That probably came from Davey.
Okay.
That probably came from Davey.
Yeah.
So, in any case, but the tree board, you know, I don't necessarily want to speak on their behalf, but from Martha and from Ken Lundquist, tree board really truly believes not to exceed 3,000 is an appropriate amount for Urban Forester, as you noted on the scope. And pricing, well, the scope basically gives recommendations for pruning, gives recommendations for planting, the types of trees, the placing of those trees, the recommendation of tree removals, updating our list that we work in conjunction with the electric department on. They do obviously lots of other types of things, public education. They help out when necessary. They help out on our like Tree City USA and come to tree board meetings and things to that effect. But typically they come in when we have a tree that we're not sure of. We're not sure that if it's good or bad. We have a tree that maybe, well, for instance, good example of this. In the storm last year around Old Settlers, we had to have them come in special, obviously, to look at the trees that were damaged and work through that. So that's kind of what they're there for. It is a portion of the tree board's responsibility, and this is their recommendation. I can't promise I can answer all the questions, but if you have them, I can try to answer them. No questions?
I have no questions.
Okay, then I will make a motion that we approve the Urban Forester contract for the year 2013. That change, that is a change. On behalf of the tree board, in a not to exceed amount of $3,000.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Marcia, is that something we can just change the 2 to a 3 and then send back?
Yeah, I think it's probably just a typo.
It's just a typo. Yeah, I figured it was. Okay. Street closing permit for the Whitley County Autumn Art Festival. Looks like, Jeff, your name is on this one, so.
Sure. This is now a Humane Society-sponsored event, and I believe it's our 11th or 12th year of having the art festival downtown. And no change from last year. Still looking at closing just the single block between Van Buren and Market Street, Chauncey. And we set up so that there is an emergency fire lane for either police or fire to navigate through there. And aside from that, we cannot notify the DBA because they have disbanded. Mm-hmm. In the past, we've been able to notify them. And I've also talked to Mr. Espick about contacting Farmers Market, specifically Chris Lilly. Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to be taking place very shortly.
Okay.
That's really the two groups that would have been impacted by this.
Okay.
And I guess just as aside from that, I talked to Rosie too about getting permission for using the City Hall again this year for the student art show. If you recall, last year it had been switched from the Cluxton Parlor to City Hall. It had outgrown the parlor, and we set up in the front foyer and main hallway, and would request the same this year.
Okay. Anybody have any issues, questions?
Is it noted on the permit to support what you're asking for? in, you know, like City Hall and all that?
City Hall, I just had asked Rosie. She said we could discuss it at the same time.
Okay.
It's actually two separate.
Understand. I support what you want to do. I just didn't know if we needed it.
I think last year you just brought up Board of Works.
That's what I was going to ask, what we did last year, because I didn't remember.
Honestly,
so.
I don't remember either, so that's why I was just checking. But I'm fine with just supporting verbally. Mm-hmm. It's in the minutes.
And I can write it right on here.
Okay. Yeah.
Then we'll remember.
That's fine. And I support it. I don't have any questions. Okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Someone want to make a motion?
Make a motion that we go ahead with a street closing permit dated for September 2nd, 2013, as presented to us.
Okay, second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous.
Did you say seventh or second?
Second.
It's a seventh.
Mm-hmm. Seventh.
Yeah.
I thought you said the other one. I'm not sure that was Labor Day. I thought you said the 22nd. So what is it? Okay, so is it the 7th? 7th. The 7th. Okay, I thought that's what you said. 7 blends in like a 2. No, that's my sloppy hand. It looks good. Okay, I got it down. Okay, very good. Let's then move on to GIS. Sure, or you can speak from there because there's a microphone there.
All right, I'll sit here. That's all right.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay, basically, as most of you are aware, we've been looking at a software to get our GIS in the field. The GIS programs progress quite rapidly, much faster than we anticipated originally. Mike Smith was much further along with collecting data and having databases put together than what I was even aware of when I started.
Okay.
And with that, we've been able to basically get our data to a point where it can go in the field and be valuable to our field crews and even in City Hall. So with that, we've looked into some softwares that would be useful in the field for our employees, and I'm sure you've seen some information and quotes on this data, which we spent probably 3 months looking into different softwares and talking to different local GIS professionals, just asking them how they get their data in the field. And with that, we came to the conclusion that a software that Northeastern RMC uses, GoSync MapBook, would be a good option for us. So what I've done is included some information about GoSync and on the files, and I'm not sure what you guys can see about it or what you know about it. Basically, it's a software that allows to view the maps, make markups on the maps in the field, complete inspections, and have that inspection information available to the employees at any time. Any past inspections will be available. And with the software, it allows GPS navigation with the software, so it'll pan to anywhere you are in the field, pan to that on your notebook. And as you can see, this software it's usable on any laptop, but we decided that a Toughbook notebook would be the option to go just in case it was dropped or anything in the field. It'd take a little bit of a beating. So you can go through and see that the software total would total approximately $30,000, a little bit over that, to get started. With that, we have a server on my computer, and that would bring four. That would be with four notebooks in the field, one for each of the four utilities. So that's where we were thinking we would start with, just to begin the program, and get the maps in the field. Then I have the annual maintenance outlined in there. Be $2,300 annually for that software to maintain the server on my end and the four.
How much? Say that again.
$2,300.
$2,300
annual maintenance on that software. And that'd be with four notebooks in the field. And the individual pricing is listed on there. We figured it'd be to add an additional notebook with software would be approximately $3,300 to $3,400 each additional notebook the software would add. not per year, but this initial investment. So, that's Go Sync Map Book. I'm also here to discuss a couple other options. If we were to go forward with Go Sync Map Book, it would require our ArcGIS software to be upgraded. Right now, I'm using a basic version of ArcGIS, which has been great, and I've been able to utilize it. But to utilize Go Sync Map Book to its fullest, we would need to upgrade our ArcGIS software from the basic version to the standard version. And that total would be a $4,950 increase in the software.
Is there an annual maintenance fee for that also?
The annual maintenance currently is $400 per year, and that will increase to $1,200 per year on that software. But it will provide so many more options to allow us to analyze our data and create. What I'm looking to create is something called a geometric network, which would allow us to utilize the GoSync software much better and make it more useful. And then the final item on here is Arc Publisher, which is a $2,500 software. What this will do will allow me to publish all of the maps that I've created and make them viewable to anybody in any city employees. I could just publish these maps, and anybody in any department can view the maps. I think that'd be great for City Hall or anywhere else that doesn't need to have software in the field. It'd just be a software that you could download a free reader. It's called Arc Reader. So I could publish the maps, and you could view them on the Arc Reader. And that's where we're at with that. So this is in collaboration with Sean a lot, and Sean Leckie, and all the department. I guess a lot of the department heads is discussing these. And Sean and I have been to several meetings, and this is just where we concluded that we need to go if we want to move forward with our GIS program.
I have to say I've been fortunate enough to set in a couple of demonstrations, or at least the one up here, and I'm also aware of what Northeastern RMC sees, how they have run their system out there, which is one of the best I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And so by them, I know the amount of homework that they have done has substantiated this request. I know they've talked to numerous other towns and the systems that they have. And so, you know, I know this is advancing rather quickly, but I also know the amount of work that they put into this to get to this point. I've always been a lot supportive of this endeavor from the get-go, even back before in my second term, because this is what I knew was going to be in the best interest of our utility and the advancement of the technology. And I've been have to commend Brad for all the work that he's put into this thing so far. It's quite impressive if you ever have a chance to really take a hard look at it. It's pretty cool stuff. And it's really where we need to go. It really is, as far as, I mean, we've dealt with like towns of South Willie and some of the other local people that have not documented some of the data. They're lost when somebody retires. This here will obviously take care of that situation. We ran into it here as well, where some people retire and some of that their database is in their brain, quite honestly. And when that's gone, they're gone, we don't have it anymore. So this is once you make the cost, you know, the investment, in the long run, it's really a huge savings when it comes down the road.
When we started out with this committee, we charged Brad with going out to the different department heads asking what their needs were. What we quickly identified was that they didn't know. But once they were shown what these capabilities were, they said, oh, yeah, we would definitely use that. So it's a matter of a learning curve. We brought in a representative from Northeastern and did a demonstration here, and everybody, all the departments, were invited to it. There was a real good, strong showing of attendance, and they all loved it and started thinking through that, yeah, this is very applicable to our utilities. And that's one reason that we're recommending this software, is because out of different software, there's a ton of softwares out there available. This is the one that is best suited for utilities, though. And we figured that, that this is actually the best bang for our buck in going this route. The other thing is that, as just most recently, I think it was really Dan and Brad that decided that we should go ahead and package the entire program together, even, you know, the upgrade of the ArcGIS and then the ArcPublisher. Those, my understanding is, we wouldn't have to utilize today, maybe in a year. You know, they'd be better utilized, but we could work into it. But it's important for you to understand and see what the total cost of the program is. We don't want to be coming back to you nickeling and diming the it's thousands of dollars that, figuratively speaking, continue to come back and ask for more and more and more. We want you to be able to see the entire cost of it.
So the entire cost is to, and I'll round it off, the 30 would be the $30,000 for the initial base, then the $2,300.
Well,
I guess I'm trying. What,
that's a yearly. Yeah.
That's a. That's the maintenance fee.
Yep.
$30,000 is the pocket change, and then the upgrade of, from basic to standard publisher would be another almost 75.
Yeah, and then. Your support is 23 on that particular sync map.
23, and then 1200 for the ArcGIS. That's once that's upgraded.
Okay.
It's currently 400.
About 3500.
Okay. Well, just curious, Rosie, how's this distributed from a budget or from a cost perspective? How's it been shared, or Larry, are you? Are you renting this to them, Larry?
We don't have any money.
Yeah. I would say.
And we'd be glad to chip in a lot because, for an example, you know, somebody could hit a full out in the country and they could call in and say, was BL-354 number of pole? That would let you know that it's a big leak. Single phase pole, two transformers on it, or whatever would be on it, so our crews could physically load up the equipment desired on that project to get that pole back up without going out, seeing the problem, coming back in, then loading the materials and going back out. So it would be very, very time saving to us.
Understood.
Mike?
What's the four utilities?
It's sewer, water, electric, and storm would be his base. Essentially, it would be storm and Brad sharing it to begin with. But yeah, sewer would have one.
So would that be something that the two of you would share, you and Kelly?
I would say because I need to know where the sewers run because... if we have something come in, we go out and we start pulling manholes and looking for it and where the sewers run. So, yeah, it would be beneficial to us, too.
Yeah.
For
the question back to me, I would gladly do my part.
I know you, and you always have, Larry. I'm just teasing.
I would say he could do the initial $30,000, and the rest of this could be split between the rest of the utilities. Then he would act, the electric would actually own the system rather than trying to. Makes it much easier when I'm trying to put them in the fixed assets stuff.
Right.
And then they could split the maintenance and the upgrades.
Well, I think it's great that you can share that across the board, again, because everybody has budgets and cost, and they're trying to keep the rates down. And so by the more people involved to share that, I think the better it would be.
Is it, I guess, you know, Mike poses a good question, though, I think. Is it something that maybe we want to... And I'm not trying to increase cost here, but this is something we maybe want to get five to accommodate street sewer and wastewater. And the only reason I say that is because if Kelly's out on a job and Mike needs it also, it's going to be difficult to share. Now, that doesn't mean that maybe stormwater can't share either. So I guess I'm just trying to figure out how the system works. That is it something where the is it Tough Books, Map Books, whatever they're called?
Tough Book.
Is that something that can be interchanged? Like, you know, if, let's say, electric's not out in the field and, you know, when water needs an extra one, is it something that they can share, or is it something where it's going to be determined based on what's on that book?
Well, I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
Because they're going to have different permissions for each username they possibly
have. Oh, okay.
So, you know, electric, maybe just the electric. They can turn on the layers to water and sewer if they wanted to.
But can't change them.
It can be changed. It can be changed. Oh. I don't know how easily that can happen.
Yeah. But if it's a login system, I would think it could be something where, let's say, you know, electric has the Tough Book this, you know, today and tomorrow, they're not going to be out in the field as much as water, and maybe water needs two, so they would log out, water would log in, and they'd have two books working basically on the same system.
Well, I would think so.
Okay, but yeah, you can't definitively.
And to go back before that, I haven't been in communication with Mike at all about this, so I don't know anything about it. So Mike is the one in the dark about this.
Okay.
I haven't spoken to him about it.
Okay.
But he could definitely utilize it, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, again, I kind of twist off the mayor's comments is if I see it to be a tool to make me productive, but it's back at the MSF and I'm at Big Lake, I don't want to drive all the way back, obviously. We're trying to utilize it where it needs to be utilized. So I don't want to undercut ourselves of not having the tools available when I need them, so we're not losing productive time or things like that. So, if it seems like if we're going to make this investment, we really want a good implementation plan of what and who and how it's going to be used as a daily operation. So. And again, five may not be the number, or it could be more.
I could see using two in our department eventually.
Well,
With one being in the sewer department, one being on the street side, GPS and signs and ADA ramps and all types of stuff.
It doesn't take long to pay for itself in time lost, because I didn't have the tool to do my job, and I think that's kind of the philosophy that we've always try to promote, is let's utilize the technology. I'm a great supporter of technology to help us, and so I think those are things that we just still need to fine tune and tweak. I mean, like you said, today you don't have all the answers, and I appreciate that, because I think it's going to be a learning curve for all of us. But Dan, and as you know, he's got a lot of history in behind the database and the purpose of us purpose of it. But we're trying to build a system with technologies.
Right. I think what you're going to find, once each of the departments starts to utilize the GIS system, it always brings up more questions. Hey, can I do this with it? Can I do that with it? Just like in Mike's situation, there's going to be I really think he's going to be able to utilize that as well for his lift stations and just general inventory of some of the stuff that he needs to know before he goes out to those lift stations in some cases. So there might be when we start looking at this, it could, spread out quite honestly, as far as the possibilities of it.
And the rotation of who's on call,
yeah.
I mean, to me, that's a great asset to have whoever's on call, I have it with them during that time.
I guess we might have discussed it a little bit with Mike's situation when we was out there, but we never really. I could almost see each one of them having their own workbook, and then having that data readily available to them. I think would be a huge tool for each of them.
Is it possible to put on an iPad?
Not this particular software.
Okay. Well, I say that's something obviously we've all. From superintendents, it's always been available. So, but I understand.
You could view some of what, but you would have all the functionality.
Right. And Terry, I mean, as technology director, I mean, there's a lot of components in this. Are you involved with the pieces and the parts? And because somebody's got to support it,
Yeah, we talked about it, and we went through the specs and stuff like that. And I tried some of our reps to see if we get better costs, and everything is it's really tight. they got a good pricing on what they're looking at, and everything is could be easily supported with what we have now. So I think it's a good way to go forward.
Is that tough books what the police officers have?
No. They used to have the Motorola NLA-50s, but now we're just using Lenovo's.
Okay.
Standard laptops.
Is this, and I know this is probably kind of an off-the-wall question a little bit, but is this something that can be integrated into dispatch in some way, shape, or form to help? Is that what the plan is?
Yeah, we had talked about dispatch being able to actually, if we do have lines down or stuff like that, being able to pull the information up also, if you have to tell the person before they ever start back in to come in to work, what might be down, what pole is down, what transformers are there.
So this, I mean, to me, this is all. It's not just a cost savings issue, but it's definitely a safety issue too. I mean, if we're making, if we can look it up that we know where one line goes and where the shutoff thing is and all of those pieces of the puzzle, when they're going to a job site, there our workers first of all are much safer and our residents would be much safer in that same scenario.
And I could see this even venturing into the fire department pretty easily, for a viewer for a number of reasons. For fire hydrants to valves to
water or
water mains,
sewer mains. So if we have some kind of a leak, we know where it's going. Yeah, there's a whole lot of applications. I'm sitting running this through my head, and I wouldn't necessarily need access to do anything with it other than view.
So I guess that was going to be a question stemming off of that. Is that something they could view on their iPads?
There's possibly.
Yeah.
I'd have to look into it.
I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but I think this is a good fact-finding type session, is what I don't know what you guys are thinking, but that's kind of what I'm using this time for, or what I'd like to use this time for.
There's various ways to put those on the site, our system. I still, the amount of memory that it takes to do that, to put it on an iPad, I think it's going to be extremely difficult to do.
Oh, really?
That's why they went with a little more of the tough books, quite honestly. Plus, they're a lot more rugged, because sometimes the guys aren't, you have to be pretty gentle with some of these. These books are designed to handle some, being a little more rougher with it in the weather, so to speak.
But is that something that they could pull up off a server, though? I guess a map or something off the server, or is that still too much memory? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out. And you may not know the answer right now, but something to contemplate.
You can always make a PDF map to view a map, but that's not GIS. I mean, you can't click on your features and determine where everything is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can look at a 2D map on all these, but that's not useful. I mean, it's useful, but not the same as a complete GIS system.
Right. And I think, again, we got to grow into this, because I think Terry, as you know, if the server is going to be housed on the other side of town, you want to look at it up here. Today it's a wireless network, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we know that fiber is connected to draw all that data from one side of town to the other would be slow or challenging. Okay,
we're working on that.
Right, and I know you're working on that, but I'm just saying this will have to grow in phases as technology allows you to connect to it. So, again, I think being creative and knowing what our limitations are, but the people who's going to gain the most right now is the people who's housed at the MSF. That's correct? Based upon, because that's where the server resides?
Right. And I believe that any edits made in the field with the tough books with the GoSync will be synced back to my machine when they come into the building.
Right.
Some type of wireless network.
To get it on dispatch right now, that I think that link would be tough.
Well, I guess I wonder then about Mike and at the wire department, even though they're basically right next door to what you're talking about, how does that integrate in?
That might be something where they just have to drive by the building.
Yeah, they just pull up to the MSF and it'll sync up.
Yeah.
Well, okay. By having everything, so it's on the server, but you can publish it to his own personal little computer there.
On the tough book?
The tough book. He can publish it, so he can still view everything. Right. He's just not going to be able to
update
it.
He won't be able to edit it.
So by publishing it, he can still have access to all the data.
Okay, so, and I apologize, I'm not quite following on that, but will Mike Deere have the same access that Larry Whetstone will?
Yeah, he will.
Yes, he will. Okay, that was my question.
There's two different softwares is what Dan is talking about.
Right.
There's a GoSync map book, which will go on the notebook, but there's also an ARC Reader software, which is just a viewer software that doesn't allow you to do edits, markups, or inspections that everybody can view. And I believe you'd be able to send those over email.
You are talking about two different monsters, so to speak.
Yeah, I understand.
The electric and the needs that Mike's going to need for maintain his system. There's a couple different mechanisms in place, so to speak.
All right. Okay. So is this something you want to kind of keep digesting? Is it something that you want to move forward with a recommendation? What is your opinion?
First thought is I think they've done their homework, and I would hate to see anything slow them down. I mean, Brad's done a wonderful job of moving with this thing. I know we still have some unanswered questions, but as far as some of the how it's going to work, I think this has to be the starting point. I know they got everything's really pretty much in place. I hate to slow them down with this by a couple of weeks. I say go ahead and move on with this. I mean, this is just a working into this dollar amount. I have no problem with him moving on forward, quite honestly.
So the standard implementation, that's a training schedule?
It's a complete, each of those implementations are 38 hours outlined. I believe you have the file. Should be in Dropbox, maybe. I don't know, it's 38 hours of different. There's a kickoff meeting, configuration, testing, server installation. I believe most of this is done remotely. They're in California,
right?
And I don't know how much they'll be here at all, or if not, I'm not sure at that point. Initial talks, they won't even be on site. They'll do everything remotely from California.
So how many, does everybody have to go through this 38-hour training?
No, this will be for me, getting everything set up, and then I'll provide the training myself.
Well, what are you thinking?
Well, again, I support Dan, and I support Brad and the whole group. I think, again, technology is where we need to continue to focus on. And I guess the only thing I don't know for sure is, what is our bottom dollar or bottom request? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the open end right at the moment. So.
Well, I think if we're going to move forward with a motion, I would like to add one more toughbook to the opportunity so that we do have one per utility officially, let's say it that way, which would bring that main software dollar amount with the toughbooks included to $32,365.45. Is that okay? I mean, I basically I'm just adding another tough book so that we can make sure that Mike and Kelly, Larry, Mike, and you each have a tough book. So that would be that cost. The annual maintenance fee, would that be something we pay at that same time of purchase?
I believe that'd just be a year. I'm sure the first year is included.
That would be something that would be a expense next year.
Next year.
Okay. And then you have the GIS, the upgrade from basic to standard so that we can integrate those basically. And then the ARC publisher, that's an additional $7,450, right? So we're looking at... I'm getting $39,815.45. Does that sound right? Can someone check my math?
I didn't check it, but I rounded off the same.
Okay.
$39,815.
Yep. And 45 cents.
What was that PO number, Rosie?
Yeah.
$39,815.
It'd be $39,815.45. So is
So if it's determined, we're going to do five, but if it's determined that a department needs another one, then we'll let that individual department be accountable for the purchase of their next RV.
Let's see. Those run about $2,200 for the tough book.
Is that loaded? I mean, that's loaded?
Yeah, that's ready to go.
Okay. I think that I'm trying to remember what the amount is by policy that you have. Is it three?
$3,000.
Okay. So I would say yeah, I guess.
Well, because I think it's going to grow as everything else.
Right.
So I just think that we set the initial system in place with the bonus or with the additional upgrade, and then let each department be accountable after that.
Okay. Yeah, and I think it needs to be something that we learn. And slowly, I know we don't like to use that word, but slowly integrate in. So once we know how to use it functionally, that's when we can start looking at the expansion of getting more and things like that. I don't want us to be too rushed into something and then us get to a place where we say, I'm not sure that this is exactly where we need to be going with it. So I think the program as a whole is going to be a long-lasting program. I think it's going to be something that's going to help generations, if you will, of Columbia City residents and workers specifically. But I just want to make sure that we do this right and we do it proper from the outset so that as we move forward that it's concrete, that it becomes something that we follow the track and we're solid on. So.
Well, and I think he's got a great support system with RMC and county government. There's a lot of help out there that will support the works that they're doing.
Yep. And does this work with your GIS?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, looks like. So, is this total cost of $39,815? Is that? Are you guys thinking that that's going to be borne by the electric department, and then the rest of it is going to be handled with the other departments, or? I mean, anything additional, or how are you thinking that would split up, Rosie?
I was thinking that initial $30,000 he talked about, and then he added on
70.
The upgrade and our publisher.
Yeah, $7,450.
Okay. Right, and the maintenance that I thought could be split between all the departments.
Okay. Well, then I guess what I'd like to do then is, because we have additional tough book in there. Then I guess I'll make a motion, if you will, that we purchase the GIS software, the GoSync software, all the stuff, the stuff that's being proposed. The electric department pay for $32,365.45 of that, and the rest of it be divided, the rest of it being $7,450, be divided among the other utilities. For a total cost of $39,815.45. Does that sound okay?
So does that include fire and police?
Good question. No, I think that would just be the other utilities. The other four utilities, if you will. Does that sound okay, Larry?
Yeah, we had a pretty good last two months, so sounds familiar.
Okay.
Well,
that's your gift to us when you leave.
We will.
Let's go take it off our profit this month.
Okay.
And I do want to make sure that it's known, which, by the way, I have a motion but not a second yet, so just keep that in mind. I do want to make it known that it's something that, because it's a fixed capital asset, that it's being owned and borne by the electric department, but that it's going to be used, and that I'm assuming the ongoing maintenance would then be taken care of. Maybe as a built-in by into the stormwater, or being shared, or something to that effect. I think it should be shared, but I guess I'm saying that because it's housed under community development, that's kind of where it needs to be. So.
We had it shared with mm-hmm. the county, and then now we got it under one umbrella.
Okay.
Where we take it out of our CEDA fund.
Okay.
Because it is kind of economic development.
It's an operation.
Yeah. It is an economic development tool.
Right.
Quite honestly.
That's a good point. Okay, so that's my motion. Unless you want to change, okay. Did you have?
I just, Brad, does that sound good to you?
Yeah, I think as we go, we'll find that, I think a lot of departments will want to add laptops maybe before we even get going. So I think especially Kelly, he's wants to get on. I think electric might even want more than one just to even start. So.
Yep.
But I think that's a good, that'll be fine to start with one. We'll see.
And again, with the training and stuff, I think it's, you know, I think that's a great way to begin.
I have
a. Okay, so I have a motion, and Dan is second. Any further discussion or questions? I think it's a great program. I think it's really going to help. So all those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay, very good. Rain Barrel Program. We discussed this last week, or last time, and there were some unanswered or some questions that were kind of left on the table. So we will then, Jeff's here now. You want to talk about maybe some changes you made in response to the questions that we had?
After the last meeting, John Boats and I both sat down and listened to the audio and picked up the concerns and questions that the board members had. And we really appreciated the input. Went back and did some tweaking to the program. I guess first and foremost, it's important to understand that the overall requirement is part of the 6 minimum control measures that's from EPA administered through IDEM. This particular one, minimum control measure, is for public participation and involvement. It's incumbent upon us as the MS4 community to develop programs under that umbrella. This is one we felt that we could get into fairly easily, fairly inexpensively, to work towards compliance of that minimum control measure. So that's where we started from to where we're at today. There was a point of having some sort of minimum specifications or requirements of the program. We've developed an outline of 8. Now, mind you, that this is still draft. If the board sees something that they feel is really out of whack, the other thing was the ongoing administration and compliance, checking up on those property owners, and we modified it to state that we would go out, a representative, whether it be John or myself, would go out and verify that the rain barrel has been installed prior to them receiving the rebate check. So that's one of the other things that was updated. And then also that there's concern about just having a single source for the rain barrel and accessories. And so we've now opened that up to be able to be purchased from anywhere as long as it met the criteria. I do know that Don Langlo was at the meeting and spoke on behalf of the aesthetics or lack of aesthetics of a rain barrel. And I can tell you right now that out at Eagle Glen, the restrictive covenants have nothing in it. There's nothing in any city ordinance that would preclude a rain barrel anywhere in the city. So I guess I don't know how to respond to that question or concern. I suspect that if a developer wants to write that into their restrictive covenants, they can. It's just a matter of how far into that level of detail that they want to go. But I have not found other restrictive covenants outside of the city. I have not come across any yet that address rain barrels. So I don't have a good response for you on that, except that that's where we're at on it. Marcia did provide a liability clause, and I don't have it with me. I thought I printed it. Was it on the Dropbox? Okay. Aside from that, I did send out a response to each of the board members shortly after the last meeting, and I didn't hear back anything. So if there's additional questions that would need to be researched, I don't have that right now.
I think, you know, obviously the key point of this has to do with the minimum control measures. And our, is this the public engagement? No, which one is
public
this?
Participation.
Public participation. So what happens, and I, what happens with those minimum control? Like, how does, I guess I would ask this, and I'm just now thinking of it, so I apologize I didn't bring this forward beforehand, but Jeff, how would the state, or, because it's the state that regulates this, correct? Okay. So how would the state, what would be considered a success to the state in this? One person participates, five people participate, doesn't really matter?
It doesn't matter. We started out, it's a self-implemented program. And at the beginning of this, we had a consulting firm assist us in creating programs under each of the six minimum control measures. And Walt, you'll remember back, this is part C of that program. So we've got a Part C stormwater management plan that has each of the six control measures and under it objectives and goals in compliance. Once we got through the first five-year permit cycle, the second one, IDEM is requiring us to expand on that it's no longer good enough just to leave it where it was at. One immediate or initial program that we had under public participation was stenciling of the storm drains. That was fine then. We need to continue with that program, and then we have to expand to other programs for the second cycle, the second five-year cycle. So if the next time that IDEM comes in and audits us, if they see that we haven't expanded anything beyond that our goals and objectives for the first five-year cycles, then we will be classified as proficient and face their penalties. So I guess, you know, that's a long-winded way of telling you that as long as the program is implemented and we try our best. I mean,
yeah, obviously it's not something we're going to put out and say, you know, no one needs to do it. It's something that we are encouraging because it is a conservation method and it's a good green solution, if you will. But
this is a program that's done by a lot of the communities, MS4 communities in the state, and oftentimes for the same reason, because it's very cheap and inexpensive to get into.
Okay.
Well, I think this is, and obviously since it is an option, it's not telling people we have to do it. I still don't believe the end results really justify it, but it is a way of coming together for with the MS4 plan. We did some calculations. They're a little rough, but if you have a 5,000 square foot property and you want to put a 1 inch of water over that, you're going to need almost 60 barrels of water to do that. Mm-hmm. I know this isn't meant to water the whole yard, but you're only supposed to water your flowers with it, but a 50-gallon barrel doesn't take any time at all to fill up on a minor rain. Mm-hmm. And if this matches one of the IDEM's requirements, and if it's an offer, I guess I have no problem supporting it. I just think it's kind of, I think, honestly, somebody knows somebody that makes rain barrels and came up with this idea of it.
Well, I think ultimately here's the deal. I mean, ultimately it comes down to the fact that this is something that our public can partake in. It's something that, you know, we're offsetting the cost of the barrel. And there are many people in our community that are very passionate about finding green solutions. May not be as impactful as maybe what we'd like, but you know, every little bit helps, I guess, in some way, shape, or form. And so, I think it's, you know, personally, it meets it meets one of the minimum control measures. It is a green solution of some sort to our residents. It does provide options. It is not a mandate on our residents. I mean, to me, I don't have a problem with the program personally.
I agree with. I mean, it's an option.
I understand.
Well, they've answered all my questions that we talked about from the previous meeting. The only thing here is we share with them all the things and the processes about the rebate and why we want to promote it. And Jeff, when you go out and inspect it, or whatever that inspection period may be, what if 6 months after, you know, it's not up to par, okay, or they install it incorrectly, or I guess, what do we do? I mean, what is our obligation if we identify something wasn't done correctly, and we've already given the $30, okay, and I'm just saying after the fact, it doesn't meet the criteria.
If it's been installed wrong or something to that effect, they haven't gotten the $30 yet, right?
That is correct. If we would go out and verify, everything is connected correctly,
right?
And then we would contact the utility office. That was the other thing I wanted to cover, is the fact that the individual rebate that was discussed at the last meeting as well. But they would not be eligible until it was installed correctly. Frankly, we don't plan on going out after the initial time.
Okay. That's why I was just curious.
It'd be
tough to...
It's an administrative nightmare.
All right.
And we figured that anybody who's going to step up and you know, their cost in this is going to be at least 50% to 60% of the total cost. They've got a motive to have it done correctly if they're investing the money in it. So.
Okay.
So one inspection.
It's nothing that's going to fall over to Pete's lap, I guess, is where I'm.
I'm sorry.
Well,
I don't know what you just. I'm sorry. I didn't
understand
what you said.
Fell over into Pete's category.
Oh, Pete. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't think you said Pete's category for some reason.
That's good. I'm just. Asking.
No,
you've answered all my questions. And
okay.
Again, it's a program that we're promoting, and it's a one-time event. So.
They're not limited to just one. If they get five of them, they can get $30 for every one.
They're limited to a rebate only once.
One time.
Yeah. Per resident. Now, they can purchase one.
On one barrel, yeah. I mean, they can buy five barrels, but they only get a rebate on one of those barrels. Yeah.
And to my knowledge, there's no ordinance.
No, there's not. That's why I was just clarifying how far we was going to take it to the other side to monitor it. So
now, is this something? It's a yearly thing that we're going to advertise for and encourage.
Once the program begins, yes. And we're looking at April 1st and July 1st this year, 90 days.
Okay,
sounds good.
Someone want to make a motion?
I make a motion that we support Jeff's recommendation for the rain barrel program to qualify us for the MS4 criteria that we've been asked to follow.
I will second that. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Move forward. Proceed. Okay, next up is the ordinance violation extension request. Doesn't look like we have anybody in the audience to discuss that. Do you know anything about it, Tim? Or
just the information is supposed to hit with the letter.
Okay.
Looks like his son is working on the car. He will be in Florida until April 1. Says he will take care of it when he returns.
So do we want to give him maybe 10 days from April 1? I don't know how long. Well, I know it's going to take a lot of work, but the issue is not, I don't think the issue per se, it doesn't look like the issue, I guess it says no engine or plate. So is the issue the plate, is the issue the engine, or is the issue that it's a junk vehicle, period?
All the above.
All the above, okay. because that will take 10 days. The plate shouldn't take all that long, because you can, I think you can get a temporary plate from the BMV. Maybe not. No? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Point is that I don't know.
Well, I think you give them an option of 10 days to get it moved, or at least plate it 10 days. Then he can come back and, you know, see where we're at with it.
I'm trying to remember, how much time do we give Mr. Jones to get that? Well, we gave him a lot more time.
45.
That's probably, that's a different circumstance, though.
Well, this, I think, again, so if he took this vehicle and parked it in his garage, obviously that's not an issue.
Correct.
And he's got a four-car garage. And I think there's four cars sitting outside in front of the garage, a boat and this car.
I believe that's correct.
Okay. So, to me, I think it's, I mean, I know we are trying to work with them, but at some point in time, I mean, the word's been out for, this is almost 90 days now, the word's been out that, hey, people, it's been almost 90 days. Obviously, we're trying to be flexible, but all he has to do is put the car in the garage, and it could sit there forever.
And he could work on it for the next 3 years.
Again, I don't know what's in the garage. I don't know the situation. Mm-hmm. But
it sounds like the person working on it, or this kid's not coming back with the purse. But yeah, it's still on his property, so.
Yeah.
All right. So, but there's all, I mean, I'm just saying there's several vehicles there, and I noticed that there was another vehicle parked that it was up by the garage without a plate on it. So I'm just saying that there's a lot of activity there, or a lot of automobiles there, that, you know, it looks like they've got places to park everything if they just maybe look at that option.
Reconfiguring is what you're saying?
Yeah. Until his son gets home.
Yeah.
Or give until April 1st to move it in to, or come up and talk to us, but all I can do right now is assume a lot of things.
Sure.
And
so, would it then be the... Would it then be the opinion of the Board of Works to give them basically 10 days, so until April 11th or whatever that is, to take care of the situation?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make that car runnable in 10 days.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't sound like that's what you guys were talking about. I mean, it sounded like you wanted to just get it moved into a garage.
Got it moved into the garage.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm assuming there's something in the garage that they could trade with, you know. I don't know. But I'm willing to give him till April the 11th, and if not, come and talk to us or something.
Right.
We'll have a Board of Works meeting between now and then anyway, so.
Yeah. Sure.
So is that okay with you, Chief?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then, Walt, do you want to make a motion?
I make a motion that we give him till April the 11th to resolve the violations that have been identified. Or meet with Board of Works by, what's the date?
Oh, the next Board of Works meeting?
Yeah.
Next Board of Works meeting would be, I'm clear in September. Excuse me, April 9th.
Okay. So I would say if they're not able to have the car moved by April the 11th, that they should attend April 9th's meeting with an explanation.
And we'll take it under consideration
right at
that point.
All right.
No second that.
Okay. Motion and second. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. We'll move on to bills. If I am understanding this correctly, looks like the total amount is $917,905.77. Is that right, Chrissy?
$917,905.77. I have $931.
Okay.
$894.02.
Okay. Well.
Oh, I did make a change. I'm sorry.
Okay.
From what you have, yep. It's the payment for our water bond.
Oh, okay.
And it's to Star. It was not correct.
Was that the 119 or the 65 though?
The one for 65.
Okay.
It was for the 2012. They weren't charging us according to our amortization. amortization schedule, so I got a hold of them and changed the payment.
Okay.
So it's now 931-894-02. Sorry about that.
931-894-02.
Okay. Any questions? Discussions about the bills? Someone want to make a motion to pay the bills?
Make a motion to pay the bills as presented for $931,894.02.
Okay. I'll second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Go on to department head reports. We'll start with Jeff.
If you want to table this.
Oh.
Council.
Do you want to go to council?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. So is that okay with everybody? Yes. Okay. Then we will postpone department head reports until council. Is there anything, though, specifically for board questions, answers, approval, anything like that?
They can go. I just have just on the UV bulbs.
Okay.
You want to dismiss them, that's fine. Then
okay. If you guys would like to go, you're free to go, or you can stay for the next 5 minutes, whatever. Okay.
I went ahead and I checked on that, and when I talked about the warranty that they extended to the point that when they were installed, and the salesman assured me that that was the case because he sent me the email, and it didn't in fact say that, but they were talking that they bought them this year and installed them next year. And the person he was talking to was a gentleman by the name of John Turner, which is actually a technician that when our system was installed, he was the one that on-site, he's from North Carolina. He's the one who installed our system. Went after his install, he came through, checked everything out. So I emailed him, I was talking to him, and the company has decided to limit it to a 30-month warranty. So if we was to purchase them this year and then we would install them, we fall out at 36 months. So hopefully okay. They'll have another deal. But he said that there's been an awful lot of talk about warranties and times and stuff like that, so the company just decided that it was 30 months and that's what they're holding to. And we would fall outside of that 30 months, so it's...
So that's kind of a null point then, is
yeah.
What I hear you saying.
Yep, so we just dropped it.
Yeah, there's really not much in the answer. Okay. Well, I appreciate you checking more on that, Mike, because I know that was something that we had kind of talked about potential at the last meeting, and to me, yeah, you're absolutely right. If it doesn't really make sense for right now, then, you know, I would assume as we move closer, maybe they'll have another special, maybe they'll be able to, we can find more eco-friendly bulbs, things like that, that would help out our cause, and so.
Yep. We fall without that because we purchased our new ones last year and replaced them, so. But,
okay.
You know, that's fine. I just felt like I needed more, so when I checked farther, that, yeah, they just determined that, and I just got that email yesterday morning.
Wow.
That, yeah, it's 30 months, so.
Okay.
I just want to forget that for right now, so. But that's okay.
Okay.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Marcia, do you have anything for Board of Works?
I do not.
Okay. Rosie?
Just a quick question. Is the garbage committee now going to get together?
Yeah, we need to get together.
Yeah. We can set something up. That's fine.
Okay.
That's very...
Just one quick comment, too,
yes.
on the bids. The first one did give a per bag. I just wanted to...
Oh, okay.
So I know everybody's writing it down. It is on there. Just
okay. Gotcha. Okay.
It was, just so you know, 95 cents.
It was 95 cents a bag?
Mayor, also on the matching topic. Also on that one lady that was asking for requests for use of city property.
Yes.
Can I just get back with you?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, actually, why don't you just, if there's something that the Board of Works needs to know in order to kind of make that decision, if you could just kind of let us know what kind of information we need to be looking at.
So I sent out an email to Chris to look that up, and so I should know in the next couple of days.
Okay. Very good, thank you. Rosie, you have anything else? Paul?
Nope.
I don't have anything at the moment. Dan? Okay, very good. We'll adjourn the meeting.